Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, August 15th. As we head towards the weekend, I'm excited. As you noticed, I've been here without a co-host for the past couple weeks, but we have been auditioning women, and we'll make a decision this weekend, so we'll see. I hope you like me here by myself, although we always have a guest, so I never sit here by myself. You couldn't catch me dead doing a radio show by myself. It's just not in the cards, but we'll have somebody new beginning next week, I believe. I still haven't made a decision, so we'll see. But we want to bring in somebody good that's going to help us out and bring more color to the show. But today I have a very special guest joining me, and we have a similar background and stuff because we were born in the same place,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay, here, it'll help if I turn on your mic.
Yeah. That.
This voice you're hearing is Or Mash, and Or is light in Hebrew. What does Mash mean in Hebrew?
Mash is short for actually Messiah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's wow. Or Mashiach. That's my full name. But I didn't want to freak people out.
Yeah,
here.
He didn't want to freak people out. Okay.
It's my full name in Hebrew. You know what it means. It means the
Messiah, right?
The light of the Messiah together.
Oh, I see. That's right. That's pretty powerful name. Shit.
I know.
Did you ever do numerology and stuff on your name?
It's a good name. You should see what happens to the rabbis. One time I went to the rabbi to get his blessing, and he's like, maybe I should get yours.
Yeah, right? Or Mashiach. Wow. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you were born in Tel Aviv, right?
I was born in Tel Aviv. I lived in Tel Aviv for the past 10 years.
Really? What part? Like northern Tel Aviv?
South Tel Aviv.
South
well,
Tel Aviv.
Well, you know what? I live.
Florentine
I kinda
and stuff.
I kind of lived all over.
Oh, okay.
I lived next to Metzitim. You know Metzitim? The beach?
The beach, yeah.
Yeah, the beach.
Yeah.
I lived in South Tel Aviv next to Neve Tzedek.
Uh-huh.
I lived in next to the Alecha, next to the Bursa.
Oh, okay,
I lived all over, you know.
Yeah,
I was all over Tel Aviv.
Yeah, but that's the point. People might think, oh, Tel Aviv is really big. But no, it's just like you move, it's a mile from there. You
know? It's you move one street. Like, here's one street.
Exactly.
Like 15 minutes in Israel, you're in a different town.
Exactly, you know.
Different
you can
place.
You can cross it at the narrowest point in an hour, no, or something, you know, to cross Israel, like the width of it. At a certain point, it's like just about an hour drive and you get to Jordan.
Yeah. I always say, you know, here in California, you drive 5 hours, you reach San Francisco. In Israel, you
exactly.
drive 5 hours, you reach ISIS.
Yeah. That's true, right? Wow. So you're a comic. You're a comedian, obviously. You're funny.
Oh, thank you
funny
very much.
Funny woman. Yeah.
I try my best.
I see they called you, or you call yourself the Wonder Woman of comedy. I like that. Why not? If Gal Gadot could be Wonder Woman, you can be the Wonder Woman of comedy, right?
I'm more like Gal Gadot, I would say.
Yeah. You're like the opposite of her.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, she's amazing. She's
uh-huh.
amazing. And I even have this joke of, like, you know, the people complain about the competition. In the industry, they always tell me, like, Or, you're so lucky.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to put up with there's not a lot of Israelis entertainers like you. You don't have to put
in
competition. I'm like, are you kidding me? The only other Israeli woman who made it in this industry is Wonder Woman.
Right.
And you know, she shot Wonder Woman when she was pregnant.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she's
great.
That's
pretty cool, huh?
I tell to people the closest I ever came to that is the other week when I wondered if I'm pregnant.
A woman that wonders. There you go.
I am Wonder Woman.
Very cool. So let's find out a little bit about you first. So you grew up in Tel Aviv, and then Did you go to the? You went to the army, right?
I went to 18? The army for 2 years. Yeah, of course, like everybody does.
Right, except me. I left Israel when I was 15.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I never got to do the military service, and but you know, yeah. So I've been here like almost 45 years, and I never really felt. I mean, at a certain point when I first came here, I was afraid to go. Go back to visit because they would snatch me to the army when right. I wasn't ready for it, you right. know, because right. I'd already been here.
Right.
So, and then after that, I got too old for them. They didn't need me anymore. You yeah. know, you pass yeah. 35, they don't need you anymore.
Yes.
So that's where I'm at. And I feel I missed out on something, right? I mean, the army service is pretty cool, I think, for most people, no?
I would uh-huh. say, you know, the army is good for you, Mixo. Man more of a man and a woman more of a man.
Yeah. So everybody becomes men.
I'll tell you what. It's the whole thing of like, you know, you're 18. You know how we're like when we're 18. We're horrible human beings.
That's true.
When you're 18, you're the worst version of a human that you could be. You get drunk and you don't care about nothing and you know, you're 18. You're a dumbass.
Right, so, but as a soldier, you're the most efficient. You're at your
yeah,
prime.
Yeah. So then they put you in the structure where you the word you hear mostly is no.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
And so it really builds, I would say, character. But not to say other things can build character too. I'm sure you had quite a journey
yeah, my own
in your
shit.
Life.
Yeah, I mean, I came here alone at 16. So yeah, that's a story too.
That's insane. Just right. That's one of the things that builds character the most, to be in America alone. You know, I came... And I know what it's like, and I'm an adult now, so I can't right. imagine at 15, you're still a child.
Right.
What was
and
that
my
like?
My parents sent me here.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was the background
I mean, I stayed
for?
With some relatives, but I was alone. I mean, for 5 years, I was away from my family. And these are formative years, you know. You don't want to, like, be torn apart but from your parents, from your childhood.
Yeah.
But that happened and stuff, but... You know, I'm still saying it's nothing like going to the army and stuff, and especially for men though, more than so than women, right? Now, what did you do in the? What I'm just saying, because combat and
well,
things
now,
like that.
Now you'd be surprised. There's many, many, many women on combat. There's women
really?
On the Air Force.
Wow.
You know, Iron Dome. Mm-hmm. To any of you in the audience who doesn't know, Iron Dome is a missile interception system that the Israelis built. So
right. It
kind of works like a volleyball, right? So every missile that's being launched to Israel is kind of being intercepted by us.
Right.
That's why the people who live on the border could get spiked.
Right.
Because the system doesn't have enough time to intercept it because it's so close.
Right.
So the people, the soldiers who operate, most of them are women.
Wow.
So the entire
very
country
impressive.
Is... And I feel like... That's a part of Israel, you know, I really, really, really respect and appreciate that when you become an adult, when men turn 18 and women turn 18, they get an equal opportunity.
They get more equality,
they
right?
get an equal opportunity. They go to the
right.
army, they'll go to the army at the same age. They have the same kind of options. They can, if they want to, of course, you can have a female commander.
Yeah,
that she's above you, and you have to do what she says now.
Really, and so they mix up the sexes now.
I mean, a man can't. After
have
the boot camp, well, in the boot camp you go only women and only men.
Right.
But after the boot camp, in just like an army base, you can have women and men together.
Really,
it's mixed. It's like a work structure.
Yeah.
It's like you go to work. You got offices. You got. It's not just combat.
Right.
You know,
right.
You,
exactly.
You got offices. You got all kinds of.
Very nice. So it helps the society. It really helps, I think, bring the society together because you're also all fighting for survival. You know, everybody's fighting for existence just to stay alive. And so it's by necessity that Israel's got one of the best militaries in the world, you know, and probably the best air force in the world. But by necessity, you know?
Yeah.
And
we
plus
got
we have great brains still.
I always say the Israelis are super Jews.
Yeah.
We come from the Jewish factory.
Right. I know, Jews and steroids, right?
I would say, you know, when I, because it's funny because you say the necessity. When I came here, that's what, like, one of the things that I struggled with in the beginning, kind of like just American slang.
Right.
Like what an American would tell me, see you later.
Right.
You know, in Israel, when somebody tells you, see you later, you know, there's a sense of urgency. Right. They're gonna see you later, but here people tell me you gotta see you later. I was like, okay, when? And they look at me all weird, like what? It's just, you know, there's just a figure of speech here. Right. So it took me to, at the beginning. I thought, you know, people make plans, especially in LA with, you know, flakiness and all this. Right. I thought something was wrong with me. I was like, oh my god, I scheduled all these people and they can't do it. Maybe something wrong with me. But no, it's a California way of life. It's much more laid back. It's chilled. If you can't make it, you can't make it, you know, things are, but it takes a while to get that, just a culture difference, you know.
Right.
It's more chilled.
What did you do in the military when you were there in the army?
Oh my god, let me tell you. First of all, I was in how do you say, intelligence?
Oh, really?
Technology intelligence.
Wow.
I can't say much.
Yeah. Well, they never can, but okay.
But what I will tell you, that in terms of a soldier, I was a very, I'm a clumsy human being. I'm very clumsy.
Okay.
At 18, I was lazy. I was just all over the show. I was just like, whoa, what was going on? My father once told me that if all the Israeli soldiers were like me, we would lose the war.
Really?
Because so I was lazy. Clumsy. I remember one time my commander called the house. It was like 10 or 11 in the morning, and my father answered the phone. He's like, hi, is Orr? And she's like, yeah, she's sleeping. Well, what's going on? I was like, well, she was supposed to be at the base at 8 o'clock.
Oh, God.
Would you mind go waking her up? And my father was like, I'm not waking her up.
Really?
Because at the time, we would go out and we would do... We were 18. We were wild, and you know.
So you kept partying even though you were in the army already.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. I always did what I had to do, but I was not on time.
I was not on time.
The 8 o'clock, the 8 o'clock thing was always. I almost got sent to jail a few times.
Really?
Wow.
And you don't learn after the first time.
But let me tell you something. But for funny things.
Right.
I always got myself in trouble, but like funny light trouble. I never did anything serious. You know,
it
was just funny light trouble. I feel like that's the first time that I realized. That comedy and humor gets me out of trouble.
Really?
Yeah, if I make them laugh.
Yeah, I'm just going to check, make sure we're on Facebook, but go on. I'm listening.
I remember one time, because I was all over the place, the command, so there's, you know, it's a rasal, right?
Right. I don't know what it is in America.
Well, a soldier needs to be dressed a certain way, and like for girls, your hair has to be tied up, and everything has to
like
be a certain
officer,
way.
Like an officer, maybe.
Yeah, like an officer.
Okay.
Has to be a certain way.
I get you.
And one day, I remember the commander caught me with my hair down. Oh, no, sorry. I had a yellow thing instead of a black, and one of my buttons were unbuttoned or something like this, and I was barefoot in the base.
Wow!
And I got sent to trial.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
God.
standing there in front of the high commander. The judge, and there's three options you can say. You can say I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not guilty. Or I'm guilty, but all these things that happened were not really my fault.
I like that.
Of course, that was the third option that I picked. He was like, okay, well, explain.
Okay.
Now you need to explain how all these things are your fault. I was like, listen, with the yellow thing, it got ripped, and that was the only one I had. I didn't want to go with my hair wild like that in the base, so it was yellow. What could I do? I'm really sorry. He goes like, okay, well, with the button. I was like, listen, I've been gaining weight. I've been gaining weight lately, and I grew a cup.
Yeah.
I grew a cup size, and now he's now so embarrassed. He wants to laugh, but he's embarrassed.
Right.
I'm really talking about my tits right now.
Right.
And it's like, it just busted open. What can I do? It was busted open when the guy caught me. I couldn't do anything. You know, I'm a woman. It's very hard being a woman. I'll make you laugh. And he goes, you know what? Or fine, you know, let's say all these things cleared, you know, these things happen.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Why in the hell were you barefoot? And I explained to him the whole story. I had a pass to go with my car inside the base.
Uh-huh.
And what I would do is I would get up in the morning and I would drive barefoot.
Right.
And I would have the shoes in the car. Uh-huh. And then before I would go, I would reach the base and then I'll put the shoes and go and start my day, right?
Right.
And so the day before, I took the car to clean it.
Yeah.
And I took the shoes out. I forgot. The next day, of course, we were always high. We were 18, but I didn't mention that. So I woke up in the morning, I was like, ugh. I got in the car and I start driving.
Yeah.
I get in the base. There's no shoes in a car.
No shoes.
No shoes in a car. And I told him, I was like, listen, I had so much work to do this. You know how much work I have to do. I have so much work to do. I was like, I said, fuck it.
Yeah.
Nobody knows I'm barefoot.
Right.
Nobody, the enemy doesn't know I'm barefoot. I just need to get the job done. So yeah. I got the job done. And when you called me, I went to eat. I went to eat barefoot. What can I do?
Wow.
And the guy, I he held himself. They can't laugh.
Right.
They can't laugh.
But you actually did that.
And I got away. I was supposed to. He could have sent me to 10 days of army jail.
I know. So he gave you a break.
He gave me a break because he saw I'm maybe a lost cause.
Exactly. I mean, shit. Why can everybody else show up on time and have shoes on? Wow.
So that's what the kind of soldier I was. You know, everybody thinks that because I was in the Israeli army, I'm tough, and I am tough, but not just because I was in the. You know, in the Israeli army. Israeli women, we used to goof around a lot.
Right.
It's kind of like, it's not like college, but in terms of like a group of 18-year-olds that are together all the time, it's kind of like college.
Because
you're social like that. You goof around a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice.
You're like a little clique, a little group.
Yeah. So it's definitely, I have weapon training, so I know how to shoot. I know how to shoot the M16, the Uzi, all that.
Wow.
I remember in the first gun range I ever had, all the girls are like laying down and they when the commander so go fire, 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 you gotta shoot. There's a little
like bullseye or targets. Okay.
So the commander goes fire, 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 and all the girls shoot. Yeah. And how do you say the things that that cover the bullet?
The cases
are jumping. You know, every it was jumping on me.
Right.
The girl who shot next to me, her bullet cases jumped like they're hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, like fuck. I'm cursing.
It was inconvenient for you.
And so I didn't, caught me off guard. It's the first time, right? I'm 18 years old.
Yeah.
So I didn't shoot. The commander, everybody said the commander stops everybody and he goes behind and goes, Mashiach, which is my last name, goes like, why is your case full? Like, why didn't you shoot the gun?
Right.
I was like, I'm sorry. I'm trying to explain with the cases.
Oh, you mean the magazine in the rifle, not the case, not the casing of the bullet.
The casing of the bullet.
Is
so
that what you mean?
When it's automatic. Mean,
right. So it just shoots them out.
Shoots them out. And I guess I was so close to her that they kind of gave me little burns.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so that's what you meant. Okay.
So he goes, why did you just shoot? Why did you shoot? So I'm trying to explain it. And it's like, so I paused. And he goes, you paused.
Yeah.
He goes, listen up, class. If this was a combat,
she'd be dead.
Mashiach would have get us all killed.
Yeah, so much for people relying on you.
But let me tell you something. Yeah. I was second in my class, so I had the best. I had the best score.
Yeah.
So when I did
shoot, most accurate.
So when I did shoot, it was second most accurate.
Really?
Yeah, the whole entire unit.
Wow, so you're pretty talented with weapons.
When I decide to shoot, I shoot.
Watch out for this comic, folks. She can use guns.
I haven't, in Israel, nobody has a gun, really, unless they need to.
Right, and yet, You have so many soldiers with guns and stuff, so people feel safer, I think,
yeah.
thanks to that.
Yeah.
But why don't people in Israel have guns? Is it illegal?
You don't need to. Or you know,
why don't you need to? I mean...
You don't need to. You don't need to. If you
have
a gun...
Because of crime, but maybe because of terror and stuff you'd want
because
to,
of terror...
Right?
Listen, you got soldiers everywhere. That's you true. Got the police. And, you That's know, true. Sometimes Americans here, they ask me if, you know, having soldiers everywhere all the time feel threatening, and I said, actually, no,
yeah.
because you know these people. They're your exactly. cousins. They're your brothers. There's your
it's
friends.
A people's army.
They're your
That's
sons.
Like, yeah.
It's everybody. So all the faces are familiar, and everybody is just having fun. It's part of the mentality. So everything is very chill like that.
Exactly.
You never feel threatened by anything like that.
Yeah, and it's definitely not intimidating. If anything, it's reassuring. I think
it's very reassuring. Mm-hmm. So nobody, even though there's presence of the army in the streets, it's not like that.
Right.
They're the army made of the people.
Right, exactly. You know? And usually they're not patrolling the streets. I mean, they're just like going to eat.
They're going home.
They just have to carry their weapons with them. But it's not like it's a police state. You
no,
know?
No, no, no.
By
no.
no means at all.
Israel is one of actually the safest place, although they like to portray it differently because, you know, people need to sell commercials at the end of the day. So
That's
they need
true.
To sell the drama. But Israel is one of the safest places. I always go there. I feel very, very
Yeah, concerned. Like El Al has become the safest airline ever, you know, because... They take you through hell and back to get on that plane.
Oh, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I had a friend of mine. He used to work in a El Al security. He told me, well, maybe you know what? I shouldn't say this.
Yeah, don't talk about
it. But
that.
Let me tell you something. Okay. El Al is a very, very, very safe
airline. Right.
That's
no, it is.
That's all I'm going to say.
Again, out of
we're
necessity,
very safe. They don't fuck around.
Right, exactly.
That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, the Jews have been, you know, through enough. Now, not anymore, you know?
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, this is probably the strongest the Jews have ever been, you know? I mean, in all of history. So people don't like it. People don't like it at all, you know? And
I feel like that's why they also have such a good, you know, sense of humor.
Right.
If you noticed, the cultures that have suffered the most... developed a sense of humor because that's what helps humans cope with things.
That's true, right?
You know, the African-American community, too. They've been through so much, and now the biggest comics are also African-Americans.
Right, right.
And
true.
Jewish people. Of course, there are more comics, but, you know, that's humor... That's when I the most important thing about comedy for me, that it really helps you cope with anything. It can change any reality that you're at.
Right.
You know, it's like magic.
True.
It's like magic.
Right. Okay, so we need to get to how you got to that comedy. But after the army, you went for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
What did you do afterwards? Did you go traveling like everybody else?
Oh, I got lost in India for like 3 or 4.
Yeah, Asia. You see, I was going to say. For how long?
I remember it was like 3 months. I slept in a cave. I did
oh
all
my
okay.
God. Why the hell do you guys feel you have to do that?
Let me tell you, it's you gotta unwind.
Yeah.
So Israeli soldiers, after they finish the army, they have to go
somewhere.
Somewhere.
No,
because
absolutely.
They need to relax, and it's kind of like listen, you don't get a break because you finish high school and then they put you in another structure that's very. Tough,
right?
And then you need something before you're going to go to college,
right.
which
and
is
especially
another structure.
Like with freedom, right?
You need a couple months, or some people even
take
a year,
right?
But you need, because you're going to go to college after this,
right?
So the soul kind of needs a break for a second,
That's
just
true.
To unwind, you know. I was sleeping in caves. I don't know what kind of break that is.
Yeah. Well, but you have a story to tell.
I do have a story. I have many stories to tell.
So you picked India, huh?
I picked India. It was amazing.
Really? You liked
it? It was amazing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see, I don't think I could deal with it.
I don't know if... Well, see, every place you go, it really depends on what kind of trip you want. Like my mother went to India, but she did a different trip. I went to the beaches. I went to the mountains. I kind of chilled.
You explored and she went more where the tourists go.
She went with like a group and they wake them up at 7 and you go this and the guy, like they do all these things.
It's a whole different experience.
It's just a bit rougher.
That's true, right?
I can never do the group thing, the tour bus group.
Yeah, right?
I can't.
You
I
need
can't
the flexibility. Ability to do what you want, right?
I can't have somebody tell, okay, you're going to wake up at it. Like, I've done the... like
exactly.
Leave
enough
me, leave me alone. Enough with this. Enough. I want to be on vacation. How are you going to go on vacation and you're going to have people, like, you have some sort of guide tell you when you're going to wake up, when you're going to go on the bus, when you go out of the bus.
Yeah.
I'm a very rebellious person in nature. Yeah, I mean, that's how you become a comic, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you have the balls. So you went traveling. Did you go alone or did you go with friends? How did it work
for you when you were in India? I went with friends and I met new people. Mm. And then it was fun. I came back. Yeah. I did a BA in business.
Really?
Business and media. Yeah, I did everything the Jewish parents wants you to do.
I see. And then where did you go to school?
College. It was like a business college.
In Israel?
The College of Business.
Okay.
That's how they call
That's
it.
Good enough.
I didn't know the names are very simple. The College of Business. That's it. That's how what you get. And that's it. And then I started working in online gaming. I did. I worked at startups and stuff like that. Made my Jewish parents proud.
Very cool. So what were you doing there? I mean, were you already technical or computer savvy or what's going on?
It's funny because they would send me to do the conferences and talk to the people.
I see.
And I was like a relationship manager. So I would make sure the company had, like, the business development of it is through the connections they had. So I would kind of, they would send me to conferences and to all these places to kind of speak for the company, see what kind of business opportunities can be done and stuff like that. It was great. It was fun.
Like an evangelist for the company, pretty much. I mean, you go out there and you get people excited about it, so forth.
Yes.
Very cool. So, I mean, but did you get into any of the technical part? You had to understand how things work.
So I come from a family of coders.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My father's, all my uncles, they're all coders, and so in the Shabbat tables, I would hear since being a kid, I would hear all these terms and all these, you know, code language, and they speaking about all these things. So I have the basic understanding of you know, coding and technical stuff, but it's just enough to understand to speak to people. Right. I can't say I'm gonna code.
Yeah, you're not. If you're a comedian, you can't be a coder.
No. Yeah, you can, but I don't need to.
I don't know if you can because it's a different personality. You know, you can't be. Look, programmers are usually they work alone. They don't leave. You know, they don't leave their computer for hours on end.
Yeah,
and you're not like that. I can't imagine you could sit in an office for 9 hours.
No.
Yeah.
I tried. It was difficult for me because at the end of the day, you know, when I they didn't send me all the time to San Francisco and all that. You had to go to the office.
Right.
And for me, it started feeling like every day I'm going to the office. I'm going to prison.
Yeah,
my soul felt caged.
Yeah,
at an office like 9 hours every day, and you know I was doing well, and I did the college thing, and everything went well, but I was not happy.
Yeah,
I was not happy, and that's what kind of led to changing my whole route. You know,
yeah.
I was not happy one day. I remember I got sick. I got a flu.
Yeah, and right. You don't want to go to work anymore. You don't.
I didn't get well.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get well from the flu. I went to the doctor, and the doctor, he was like a Russian doctor. He goes like, "Tell me something. Are you sad? Are you stressed?" I was like, "What?" You know, first of all, it's not very typical of a doctor to say something like this, and yet alone a Russian doctor. They're very rational people.
Right.
They're you know.
Okay.
So I was like, "What would I have to do with it?" He's like, "You're not getting better. Because you're stressed
out.
Go home and see what makes you happy. Just chill,
right.
And you'll be better." Right. You know, and you know, that was like a slap in the face because I went home and I was like, you know what? I've done everything right. I went to school. I'm working. I'm doing all these things. What? Why
am I not happy?
Why?
Yeah.
And so then I got this crazy idea. I was like, you know what? If you want to go find yourself, if you want to discover what's going on, you need to give yourself a little shake.
Right.
You know, do something out of the ordinary, out of your routine, and then stand-up comedy.
fit the bill.
And in the beginning, when I had this idea, straight, I had my mother's Jewish voice. What are you talking about, stand-up comedy? You know, like, Jewish women have this Jewish voice, and maybe other women too. I don't know if they have. They probably have a Jewish woman voice. You don't have to be a Jew to have a Jewish voice. Yeah. But you know, because every idea you have, there's gonna be it's like Iron Dome is gonna be an interception.
Right.
He's like, "What are you talking about, stand-up comedy? You're doing well. Get a hobby, like you know." And then it's all in my head, right? And then after 1 week, I was like, "You know what?" Because it made me crazy. I was like, "You know what? Fine."
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to give myself a story, like the movies. I'm going to do it in New York. I'm going to do it in L.A.
Wow.
Like to do it in the movies. So when I'm old, I can tell my grandchildren, your grandmother did stand-up comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you have pictures and video to show for it.
But I didn't come here to be a comedian. I came to like do one show, maybe two shows, just to give myself the experience, come back.
Yeah.
I still had everything going
on
there.
So let me ask you this. So you came back from your trip, you went to college. What happened after that? Then you went working for the gaming.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you guys have any major games there that
They worked with all the major games on social media. Mm. It would be from online casinos to games like Candy Crush.
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. So it would be all kinds of games.
Right, people, but you realize it's not for you, right?
I realize it's a cool job, but it's not. It wasn't for me. And the part I did like about it is the part that I would make all these potential investors and clients laugh.
Right.
And that's how they got money in the end of the day.
Yeah.
So, you know what?
So you decided what? You're going to come to America or something? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why? What made you decide you want to do that? Was that like a dream from early on in your life?
You know what? That day when I went on stage for the first time, it was the first time I really felt alive.
Really?
And I said, you know what? That beats antidepressants. It's better than taking antidepressants for the rest of my life. So I will just go and do that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's been tough. It's not easy. You probably know how it's not easy to move.
Many comedians. Wait a minute. So did you start being a comedian in Israel?
No.
Here?
Here.
So you came here specifically to be a comedian?
In the beginning, no. I just came here to do the one show.
Oh.
But then after I did the one show and I felt so good in it, I said, you know what? Maybe I should give it a go for a little bit.
Right.
And then things kind of took their shape, their natural shape. I didn't come here to be famous
with any big plans or anything like that.
No, I came here to find myself. Like people go to like a silent retreat in India or something like that because they have a crisis. So I took a stand-up class.
Yeah. Well, but it fits your personality and your sense of humor, so that works, you know.
What was the reason that you came here? You
I came here at 16. My parents, it's kind of a long story, but let's just say that my dad, in hindsight, had a plan that he wanted to the whole family to come here, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, because my dad and his whole side of the family always talked about going to America. They were fascinated by it. They were, they've had enough of Israel at the time. And because Israel was still developing, I mean, even today, the politics there and a lot of stuff is really hard.
It was in the 80s and 90s?
No, this was like 70s actually.
70s, okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, at that point, really, they were calling people that are that immigrate to other countries, right? They called them I don't remember, but sort of like cowards.
Oh, really?
Like, for leaving Israel and going to live somewhere else.
Right.
It was Rabin who said that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But that's neither here or there. But I came here because my dad said, well, you know, I dropped out of school because I didn't like the school they sent me to. That was like in 8th grade. Mm-hmm. No, actually 10th grade. Like 16, you know. And my dad wouldn't speak to me for several months because I did that. I took a job instead of going to school. He was pissed. Right. And he gave me what he knew best is a silent treatment, you know. So for a few months. And then one day he came. He says, look, why don't you like finish the school year and then we'll send you to America.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, what a great way to please my dad, too, you know.
I'll do what he's asking. That's a very nice reward.
Right. But, you know, in hindsight, you realize you're being torn away, uprooted from your childhood.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at that age, all that matters is your friends, you know, your girlfriend, your friends. I mean, I wrote a song because I used to write songs and play the guitar and stuff, especially during that time. And I wrote a song about leaving my girlfriend, leaving my friends, leaving my room. Stop. Because that's our world. It's my room, you know, at 16. So things like that. And so you get uprooted from that. You go to somewhere totally new. And I ended up in Las Vegas because that's where I had family. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go to New York. It seemed too big for me.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's again,
in hindsight, if I'd gone to New York, I would be really rich today because all my cousins that did ended up rich there because everybody sort of like learned the locksmith business from my uncle and the twin generations.
Yeah.
And before you know it, they're all making mucho bucks in New York. And I'm struggling here. But Vegas was easier for me to take. It was a great place to be in the 70s, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, look, eventually I adjusted. I mean, I was here 5 years before my family joined me again. So that's my story, you know. So what age were you when you came here?
I was in my 20s.
Okay.
I was in my 20s.
So, and you can't seem to be much older than in your 20s. So... So, I mean, your English is excellent. Did you pick that up in Israel?
When I was 15, it's funny because I wasn't torn from my family, but my dad had to go to live in New York for business.
Okay.
So the whole family moved with him. So I was torn from my friends.
Right.
So I'm sure it's tougher to be torn from your friends and family.
Right.
But I kind of know the feeling.
For a kid, it's not cool, you know?
They put me in school with English. I remember there was kids that were like, there was one child that was like bullying me because it said my name is Orr. He was like mocking my name and stuff like that. And then I remember one day he told me I was stupid, so I punched him in the face.
Right.
I shut up, because it was like a lot. And you know, we're Israelis at the end of the day, you know, Israeli women, I wasn't a woman, I was like 15 years old, but the Israeli chutzpah.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to be bullied by anybody.
Right.
So,
but wait a minute, you're describing to me being 15 in New York? But you said you came here in your 20s. That's what I was asking
you.
So how did that happen? You came to LA 15, in the 20s?
Well, no. I was 15 in New York. I lived in New York for a year. That's what gave me the English.
Oh, for a year.
For
and then
one
you
year.
Went back.
And then we went back.
Gotcha. We went back. Very cool. And then plus the young generation, I mean, English become like an international language, you know. You see all the movies, the internet, and all that. So, yeah, I know, because I have a niece who, she only came here a few years ago. She's like in her early 30s, but her English is fucking, she sounds like she's an American. Yeah. She's only been here a few years.
Everything is so
global.
But
she picked it up from TV and movies.
It's so international, so global. I picked most of my stuff from TV. Because, you know, in Israel, they have most of the shows are in English, but they would have subtitles. They don't change. Some countries,
they don't overdub with the language.
So they don't do that. So when your brain from early age, you hear English, but you read in Hebrew, then you kind of figure it out.
That's true. That's true. And then the accent just from listening, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool, man. Well, so we have Wonder Woman of comedy here, Orr Mash, if you're just joining us. And So what? So now you're what, like a stand-up comic?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So now I do shows all over town. I'm part of a touring group. That's a group of female comics that tour. We went to Arizona. We did Vegas.
Really? What are you called?
The Nobodies.
The Nobodies?
The Nobodies. Because we kind of thought, you know, everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody thinks they're somebody, but everybody's actually just a nobody.
Right.
So let's just keep it simple like that.
I know.
That.
Even if they have a lot of followers on Instagram and shit,
whatever.
Who cares, right?
Nobody gives a
shit. Exactly. Nobody cares about you. There's 8 billion people in the world. Nobody cares, you know?
So it's fine. So yeah. we're just another nobody.
Yeah.
And my very sister cool. recently came here, Ophir, and she goes to UCLA. We have just started a production company called MASH Sisters.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. So
she younger than you?
She's younger than me. She's in her early 20s.
Uh-huh.
She goes to directing and acting. She's she's not a stand-up, but she's a comedian for sure.
Right. And your parents are like, oy vey, you know?
They just want us to come back.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never know what's going to happen. For now, we just, you know, it's our little adventure here in America. We're producing all these, like, comedy content, a lot of things in the pipeline. And it's really cool to just goof around with your sister.
Yeah, and do what you love to do, you know, that's
just
the thing.
Just make people happy, make people laugh. Exactly. Understand that life is really silly when you think about it.
That's true, yeah. So, where do you perform around town? Where can we see you?
The Comedy Store. My next show is at the Irvine Improv on August 28th.
Okay.
You can contact me through my Instagram, which is I'm or MASH. DM me, and I can put you on the guest list.
Okay.
I talk about Israel. I talk about America and Americans and differences. And I just, you know, I mess with the crowd a little bit. I goof around.
Yeah.
It's a good time. It's a good time for sure.
That's very cool, you know. So in the group, when you guys tour, how many women are on there? Women comics.
Less than 10, yeah.
Okay.
Like 5 or 6.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, mostly immigrants.
Yeah?
There are mostly, one, Eugenia, she's from Russia.
Uh-huh.
We got one from Dublin.
So you're all funny girls.
Yeah, know, and I think it's a good time for women in comedy.
Yeah.
It's always been, I always, you know, adored female comics.
Yeah.
But I think now the world is getting more and more open.
Right.
And it's the rise of the women, man.
There you go, you know.
It's the rise. We've rocked always, but I feel like this is a good time for females.
Yeah. So you think if females, like, took over, things would be a lot mellower?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I feel like, well, there's feminine energy, then there's masculine energy. And with energy, I don't mean just like men and women. I mean, like, there's the ego and rationale, and let's bomb them, and I have a bigger one, and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And there's the female energy that's more motherly.
Right.
It's more accepting and kind of caressing and you know.
That's
so
true.
I feel like we need a little bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we need a lot of that, actually.
Yeah, I don't see why not. You know, it doesn't bother me. I mean, what we got right now is not very cool. You know, and it's always been the men who are the aggressive and violent ones, you know. And, yeah, maybe something else would be better. I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care if a woman took care of me and everything.
Yeah,
I just like stayed home, did the dishes.
We're the mothers, the sisters, the daughter, and even Mother Earth.
Yeah,
we're all concerned.
Yeah, yeah.
For what's been going on, you know. But it's gonna be okay.
So do you get into politics on your show too? Do people expect that?
You know, being from Israel, maybe, but I'm here to make people's day better and make people laugh.
Exactly.
And I do talk about where I'm from. I do talk about Israelis and what I love about my country and my cultures, but I don't get into the political side
of it. Yeah, why would you want to, you know?
No.
There's enough people talking about that.
I'm not a politician either.
Yeah.
So. I'm a comedian. I'm here to make you laugh, make you think.
Yeah.
You know, and make your day a little better. So that's it.
I know. You know, it's like I noticed on Facebook, every time I see like some kind of like an irritating political thing, I look up and it's like, oh, this guy's a comedian, you know? Because a lot of people, I don't even know who they are, like friends on Facebook, you mm-hmm. know? They either follow me or, like way back when, 10 years ago, people were trying to build their followership. So anybody that sends you a friend request, you would friend them, you know? And so what I'm trying to say is that sometimes there's people that post shit that irritates me, and then I go and go, oh, another comedian, you know? It's like these comedians think they're very funny with political stuff, but for the most part, they're not at all, you know? So I just delete the motherfucker, you know what I mean?
You know, if somebody's annoying, it doesn't matter if he's a comedian or regular person.
No, I know, but I noticed that, you know? Yeah. I noticed it about... No, actually, there's some people that annoy me to death, but I won't unfollow them because I'm fascinated by their stupidity.
People get famous and rich.
Yeah.
You know?
Or narcissism and stuff, you know?
Some people do that by, you know, just getting your attention.
Right.
And you never know. Sometimes they get your attention, but in the end, like, because you said that with a smile at the end of the day, you did laugh about something.
Yeah.
So maybe some things in the name of comedy, they're like, I don't care if it's annoying. If it's funny, it's fine.
Right.
I don't know these comedians, but I personally don't do comedy.
Yeah, good for you. You're smart.
Unless you know something happened,
right?
And I, you know, I don't know, but I always speak for my people. I love my people. I know where I'm from. I never forget it.
Yeah.
So every time I go to Israel, it's a great time.
Yeah, you like it.
I love it.
Awesome. But you staying here for a while? Is that the plan?
Yes, I'm staying here for a while.
Well, nice to have you. We only have 4 million people here. It's okay if we get a few more, you know. We're always welcoming everybody.
I love California. It's so good.
I know everybody loves it. I'm ready to leave after 43 years.
Where are you going to go, though? What's better?
I was going to move to Oregon. I mean, I already put money down.
What the hell is in Oregon, Sam?
When I show you the pictures in the video, you'll see.
Really?
A lot of nature. I was getting a house right on the lake. I mean,
that's nice.
I mean, on the lake, you'll see. It's like the backyard was the water with the dock.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
For $1,500 a month.
What?
Yeah.
That's insane.
So, okay, so that's what I'm saying, all right? also, a lot of nature, and that's what I like. Look, I mean, you're in your prime. You're looking now to do a lot of new things. You have a long future. For me, it's like, look, I've worked hard enough. You know, I've been thinking about this lately, and I'm thinking, you know, it's not like I'm depressed or anything. I'm happy being alive. Mm-hmm. But it's sort of like I can't see what else I can do anymore, you know? So it's like I don't care how much longer I have, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not really coming from a depressed place. I mean, I used to have depression and stuff like that, and I might say things like that. But now I'm saying it from a good place, and I'm just saying, you know what? The only thing that remains is really to go out there, retire, enjoy your life, you know. I mean, every hour I spent in traffic here, I could be fishing or something, you know. Or, you know, lighting a joint and sitting in front of the lake and having a blast, you know. And
I agree.
You know, a small place, there's also a beach there, a huge beach. So, that's where I would go.
You know, people sometimes, you know, we say depression, or I feel like... sometimes depression is just our soul asking for a change.
Right.
You know, which is fine. It's totally fine. People live in periods of time. So there's a period of time where you were this Sam, and now you're going to be that Sam. And then, you know,
The
phases in your life. People are not living lives anymore. They're just one thing. I was a lawyer. Your grandfather was a lawyer for 60 years.
Exactly. Who can do that?
Now people change it up all the time. So. Yeah. So I think it's good to listen to your heart saying, hey, I want something new. That's fine.
Awesome. Well, Ormesh, comedian, Israeli, fun woman, and she's also been in the army. Are you looking for anybody right now? Should we promote you on, like, as a eligible single woman looking for somebody?
No. I'm good.
She's good. Okay, so don't bug her. But you can find her on social media. Tell people again where they can find you.
On Instagram is I'm Ormash. I'm Ormash. On Facebook is Ormash. Ormash. On Twitter is Ormash Potatoes.
Okay.
And on YouTube, just click Ormash Comedy on Google and you'll find me.
And be, exactly.
Ormash
Google
Comedy.
Is the best, you know. Just I that. Always tell people, give you social media. And then I'm going, just put one search in Google. You'll yeah. find all of them. You
Ormash
know?
Comedy, Ormash Comedian, and you'll get it.
Exactly. And I see also you have Fuck That Podcast.
What oh, yeah. That? So we are producing a weekly podcast, me and my co-host, Jahan Sabir.
Okay.
We're doing it, recording it at the Comedy Store on Mondays. It's called Fuck That Podcast, and it's a storytelling podcast, and we have comedians and all kinds of interesting personas that come and they share their story of a time that, you know, they just, they had a moment where they just had to go, you know what,
fuck
that, I'm doing something else. And they something in their life changed.
Yeah.
So it's just a storytelling talk show.
Awesome.
Well, on SoundCloud and YouTube, Fuck That Podcast with Ormash and Jahan Sabir.
Exactly. And I saw you had some videos, I think, on your
Sundays.
Was it Instagram? Yeah, the Sundays.
The Sundays.
I love the Sundays.
Oh, so, yeah.
You guys got to watch those, man. That's on Facebook, right?
Yeah, on Facebook and on Instagram. It's a weekly web series. I post it almost every Sunday. I would say almost because some Sundays I am actually, you know, sleeping.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's a silent comedy web series, and it's a minute long.
Okay.
And it just tells
it's
a story
stuff.
Of...
It's always like a close-up on
yeah.
you and waking up, and then the camera pulls back, and you see what situation she's in.
Yeah.
Very funny. Listen, yeah. we're totally out of time. We're going
oh
over
my God.
Time.
Okay. Well, this was fun. It was fun.
Yeah, of course. The thank you for coming. Thank you. You're very entertaining. We
thank
wish you
for having me, Sam.
Of course. Continued success to you in comedy, whatever it is you want to get to. And yeah, very cool.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam.
Absolutely.
I've loved to see
come
you
back.
Again. Come back.
You're welcome back anytime. You have an open invitation.
Yes.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.